It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. It's DeMar Hamlin here from the Buffalo Bills with an early Christmas present. We have big news today. Hallmark Channel and the NFL have selected the Buffalo Bills in the 2025 Countdown to Christmas movie draft. Stay tuned this holiday season for the all-new Hallmark Channel movie Holiday Touchdown, A Bills Love Story. We're so excited to celebrate our team, our fans, and shout out to Bills Mafia. And our shared love for football and Hallmark Christmas movies. Go Bills. Let's go.
DeMar Hamlin announcing that there will be a sequel to Holiday Touchdown. Instead of it being a Chiefs love story this time, though, it's going to be a Bills love story. How do we feel about this? Yeah. I've confused emotions.
As someone that watched the movie, I don't want to see another
you
one.
You didn't watch the movie. You watched the wrong one, didn't you?
No, I watched the Hallmark one.
Oh, okay.
You wanted me to watch a different one, a Lifetime one, I think it was.
Oh, there were two. Right, there were two Chief Christmas movies last year.
Which is, of course, way worse than just one.
Yeah. We'll see if the Bills get two. The Bills are also kind of playing second fiddle here, right? Like, you're not real, I guess, whatever. Is this going to be like a Josh Allen, Haley Steinfeld, inspired love story? That's what everyone thought the Chief one was, right? Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Bills love story. Holiday Touchdown. Sal Capaccio now on the Western Hotline for this breaking story. Morning, Sal.
I mean, I was going to come on and talk some NFL rule stuff, and then this happened, and you have now John Tortorella is out in Philly.
John Tortorella. So he's stepping down, yeah, I guess, yeah, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's stepping down. So whatever that is, I mean, does that mean that it was really his decision? I don't know. It's being portrayed that way. But either way, we got that. And opening day, baseball, you know, Nate's Royals are taking on the Guardians today.
Starting
right?
straight.
Yankees are taking on the Brewers.
Nice. The Tortorella thing, it's just weird timing, right? Like, the season's almost over. They're almost at the bottom of the standings. It's not him being fired. It's him stepping down. Like, I don't know. It's just odd that it wouldn't wait till after the year. Maybe he learned or found out somehow, like, they were going to move on, and he said, well, I'm just going to do it myself then. I don't know.
Do you think this is because they want to just get it, you know, get a head start on hiring a coach? Like,
maybe.
You do it now before other teams start firing their coach, right? I know in football this happens sometimes, but I just wonder if that's part of the reason as well.
Sure, get a jump start on the competition. Especially if there's someone out there now that they've got their eye on and they want to get ahead of it. So that could be right. That could be right. Or if they want to get a look at one of their own guys. So Sal on, we did bring on Wright for the rule stuff, though, because there's a lot to get to on that front. The league's competition committee and how it works, Sal, like the competition committee and suggesting rules to the owners. And I heard you on this a little bit yesterday that it's not at all just like if the competition committee recommends it that they're going to pass it. There's oftentimes a lot of times that they do not.
That's right. It has to be approved by 75% of the clubs to be adopted. That's 24 out of the 32 owners. And sometimes the competition committee does bring a rule that does not pass. Sometimes it doesn't even get voted on, to be honest with you. Like they just kind of don't want to waste time. So if there's really no movement to know that it's going to pass, they might just kill it right there on the floor, essentially, like a bill, right? And say, okay, we're not going to do this. So that can happen, or it could go to a vote and it just doesn't turn out. That has happened with the fourth down and 15 play, you know what I mean? The fourth and 20, however they've proposed that over the years. Honestly, maybe that was a team that proposed it, not the competition committee. Maybe that's why I'm thinking it got voted down. Generally, competition committee stuff does kind of get through, but it doesn't have to. You do have debates, and ultimately owners bring up sometimes good points and say, well, are we thinking about this? Are we thinking about that? And then the competition committee goes back and thinks about it, and they have debates about it, and then ultimately it doesn't pass, but we'll see where all these go today, or next week, I should say.
Yeah, so two rules that were added to the docket for the meetings, which, right, are next week. They start on the 30th. What is that? Is that Sunday? Sunday they start? But next week it'll be the meat of it. So the kickoff rule, where the touchback would be moved to the 35-yard line, and also, right, the onside kicks would be declared at any time. This kind of feels like one, Sal, that might pass, right? Because they're trying to get more kickoffs, and I think this probably would succeed at kickoff returns. It would succeed at that.
Yeah, so the data that the league has shared, okay, now you can think about this, challenge it, whatever, but you know, you can kind of spin it in different ways. The data that the league has shared has basically said that the concussion rate was down last year overall, and on the dynamic kickoff, down 43% from the previous couple of years that they added from 21 through 23. And the fewest, I'm going to read this, lower extremity strains on the play since at least 2018. Plus, they did have more kickoffs. So that returns. So that's what they want. The idea here is, again, this goes back to last year. It's weird. I tweeted out some of this stuff and people are like, what are they doing? This is not going to help. I mean, this should not be a shock to anyone. They did this last year. They made the dynamic kickoff last year and said, we're going to put the return, the touchback at the 25-yard line. We want more returns. We want the landing zone, the 30-yard line. Sorry, you want the landing zone to count here. You got to catch it. And you know, guys, the biggest reason is having these guys closer in proximity, the kickoff team, the kick return team. This should not be a shock to anybody. The data from the league says they had more returns and they had less injuries. But they want more returns.
Yeah.
And they said it still wasn't good enough. So let's put it at the 35-yard line, the touchback. So what are you going to get now? You're going to get teams saying, we do not want to have a touchback. We don't want you to start at your 35-yard line because that's like two plays, you're in field goal range. So guess what? We're going to kick it. We're going to force you to return it. They're going to keep the alignment the same with a few tweaks, which we can get into, but not a big deal right now. And they're saying that that will also help with the concussion rate, or at least keep it the same, if not reduce it.
Right, because essentially what seemed to happen with not every team, Sal, but a lot of instances last year was, well, the difference between the average kick return and the touch where you get the touchback is only a couple of yards. So why take the risk of anything, a return for a touchdown? Whereas now, I mean, if we're talking about like a 10-yard difference on the average, I mean, that's a whole set of downs that you'll have to get as an offense that you wouldn't have to if it's a touchback.
It's exactly right. You know, people have. It's exactly why, Joe, some people have said, why don't they just move the kicker back? Well, this is the reason, because, well, the intended idea is to get more returns, but you want it to be penal to kick it through the end zone. If you mm-hmm. kick it, you know, to the guy from, let's say, you're going to get more returns, but you're not having the biggest difference between that and kicking it through the end zone anyway. They want to make a difference. Hey, you don't kick it through the end zone. You got to have a return here. And that's what they're trying to do. So according to the league, they had a conference call yesterday. Kick returns were up last year. Concussions were down as far as the over. Now, I think the actual number of concussions was about the same, but it's the rate per return that's down, and that's what they're pointing to.
So if this rule does pass, which it sounds like it probably will, Sal, I'm wondering, like, the value of kick returners, I think, went up,
yes,
dramatically last year. But, you know, I mean, the Bills had kept a kick returner on their roster all season that didn't really play anywhere else. I mean, he was listed as a corner, but I think it's kind of part of the reason he was inactive towards the into the playoffs was because, you know, they wanted to have somebody out there that could play corner if they had to. But, like, a signing like Laviska Shenault maybe has a little bit even more value now. And was this something maybe GMs and head coaches and special teams coordinators around the league maybe knew was coming, and this move for Shenault to bring in more competition for the return game was kind of a preamble to this?
It's exactly the reason they signed Laviska Shenault. I mean, Brandon Bean basically said that when he was asked about it a couple weeks ago. And Nate, it's not for competition in the return game. It's to add another guy. They're going to put two guys back there.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's not just and look, it maybe he doesn't make the roster because at the end of the day, you only have certain numbers, right? And he's got to compete at wide receiver anyway to find a spot. Laviska Shenault was a proactive move to sign another kick returner because they want to have enough guys back there because they're seeing this coming. And when he was signed, that was, to me, a clear sign that the Bills kind of knew it. It's not just him. It's not just them. Devin Duvernay was signed by the Chicago Bears. They're doing the same thing. There are teams signing kick returners with that specialty because they're saying, we're going to have to return kicks this year, so let's get a good kick returner. That doesn't take Brandon Codrington out of the mix. It doesn't remove Brandon Codrington from returning kicks. He is still your main punt returner. But Laviska Shenault has never returned a punt in college or the NFL, so he's not going to be doing that. I still have to figure out, we're all going to still watch and see how it unfolds with him having a roster spot because you still have to fit him in there somewhere. But that's exactly why they signed Laviska Shenault.
Right. Maybe be a depth guy along with the returning being the lead as to why he's here. So that's the kick return rule that's up for debate, Sal, at the owners' meetings. There's the tush push, of course, which we can get to. The other one, though, that I saw that was added yesterday was this expanding the scope of replay, but it kind of seemed confusing. The exact thing that I saw was, quote, specific objective aspects of a play and or address game administration issues when clear and obvious video evidence is present. So it's like almost a word salad of a sentence. I don't know if you have, like, the integral, like, what that means to replay and how it changes. To me, it just means that there's going to be more things that they're going to be putting in the hands of the upstairs official rather than the person on the field.
So basically what's happening is you guys saw last year there were several plays that really made headlines when there was a face mask called and it wasn't, or there was a face mask it wasn't called. Remember that?
Sam Darnold.
Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. These are the kinds of plays that now will be able to be picked up. But here's the key point that people are upset about, and I get it. They're not saying, this rule does not say you can throw a flag if an official clearly misses a face mask, okay? But if there is a flag thrown initially on face mask, hitting a defenseless player in the head or neck area, a horse collar tackle, tripping, or roughing or running into the kicker, if a flag is actually thrown, replay assist can now call down and say, yeah, that really wasn't. You need to pick it up. Mm. It does not allow replay assist to say, hey, you missed one. You need to call it.
Mm. Okay.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Thank you. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
How do I feel about that? Because it is, in a way, inconsistent. But I guess if I'm going to have it one way, I'd rather have it so that I'm getting less flags. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And because here's why, Joe, I would say, just knowing how the league and these people talk about things, if you start saying we're gonna have, never has there been, I don't think I've ever seen a situation where, and the league has never had a rule where an off-field official could throw a flag on something, right?
Right.
Like whether it's Sky Judge or whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't want to open that box. They just don't want to open the box of somebody calling down and saying you need to throw a flag, because where does that end, right? What about holding? Well, guess what? You missed the left tackle holding the guy on that run.
Yeah.
You can't do that. They don't want that. What they want to do is correct a mistake that was called on the field if it was called a flag.
Couldn't the argument be made that this might generate more flags thrown? Because if you're a referee in these situations, you know that Sky Judge can correct you if you're wrong. So if there's a doubt at all, throw the flag.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory, Nate, and I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, we see sometimes that happens in other sports and even in football with certain calls now where I think we've had talk of, well, they know the Sky Judge can bail them out anyway. But nobody wants that,
no.
Right? I agree with your theory. There's no doubt. It could lead to that. I don't think any official in the moment is going to be thinking that. I think they're just going to throw it if they see it. And then, because honestly, no official wants to get overturned either. Right? I mean, that's just a bad look for them. If they throw a flag and it's shown that, well, that clearly wasn't a flag, they don't want that look on them either. So I don't think that they'll have that in the back of their head.
So one thing I wanted, and I saw a couple of tweets about this, so I'm not sure if it was just people talking about it and a desire to see it, or if it is something that's going to be on the docket, but the eliminating an automatic first down for illegal contact and defensive holding, is that something that is going to be on the docket too? Because that, to me, is the most obvious rule change to better the game, because too many times you have third and long and whatever, and a ticky-tack holding or illegal contact penalty gets called, and it's 5 yards automatic first down. It's just, to me, that's one that is obviously needed to be changed.
It is going to be voted on. It was actually not the competition committee. It was the Detroit Lions who proposed it. Who, by the way, the Detroit Lions led the league in defensive holding last year. Okay,
yes.
So they propose this. But I'm going to tell you this, Nate. As I sit here today, I don't think it's going to pass.
Oh, okay.
I understand, and there's certainly an argument to be made for this, which is, why should it be so penal? Why should a guy be penalized and a team be penalized an automatic first down for a 5 yard holding? Well, the reason we'll come back is because, look, in this league, if you see a guy getting beat and a guy just tugs the jersey easily, like, he's going to get beat for a touchdown. So you got to make it more penal, you know, to have that happen. And I believe Warren Sharp actually did some data where he went back and looked how many times on a 3rd and 10 or longer there was actually illegal contact or holding that resulted in a first down. It was less than you think. It does happen sometimes. I'm just saying that I think because this rule has been on the books really since the start of football and the creation of football, because they wanted to make sure that offensive players could have the ability to get to where they need to get to. I just don't see an appetite to change this right now.
Yeah. The counter is that what you would do as a defensive coach, if it's 3rd and 20, is say, oh, this guy's going deep and you're beat,
hold him.
Because then they're just going to have 3rd and 15. That actually sparks an idea in my mind, Sal. I don't think this would be a cool rule in theory. I think in practice it would be annoying and we would get stupid reviews on this. But make it where if you hold them past the first down marker, then it's a first down.
That's an interesting one.
But if it's
like
before
make it a spot foul, like pass interference.
Yeah, kind of. I don't even know if I need to change the yardage. Like, okay, it's a 5 yard penalty, but if you did it 10 yards past the first down marker, they get the first down. If you did it at the line of scrimmage, then you don't. But again, in practice, that might be annoying because now we're going to get reviews of, oh, was he cross the first down marker on the hold, or was he before? Let's go to instant replay. Yeah, we're getting into all that. So what else is the most interesting here leading into next week? The tush push, but I've heard you say like maybe that it's probably not going to pass this go-around.
I just don't think so, but there's just everybody at the combine who was asked about it. There was just too many people who said, you know, it's a play, you have to stop it, right? Mm-hmm. So, but there are certainly people. I mean, even Sean McDermott, who's on the competition committee, said he has his concerns about the play. You know, and the Bills are very good at it, right? Which is interesting with Josh Allen. But I think Allen did get hurt on it in Kansas City when he hurt his wrist at the end of the at the end of that half, right? I mean, but it wasn't something that impacted him the rest of the game. But even Sean McDermott has said that. So, and the tush push is basically yes. And the way that they're wording it is, you can't make body contact with somebody who's lined up directly behind the snapper after he takes the ball. So that's basically saying you can't push the quarterback forward. That's the tush push. Honestly, for me, it's not even a playing rule. It's an outside the playing rule. It's a bylaw. It's Detroit again. I don't know if this will pass, but it's been brought up. Detroit has proposed that if you win your division, you still make the playoffs, but every team is seeded based on record. So a wild card team that has a better record than the division winner would be ahead of the division winner in the seeding. And if you go back and look, it's easy to see why they proposed this. Look what happened in the NFC last year. In the NFC last year, guys, all three wildcard teams had better records than two of the division winners. So all three wildcard teams had to go on the road while the two division winners with lesser records were at home. So the Lions have proposed to change that and just seed it by division, by overall record.
Yeah, I like that one. I hope that passes. We'll see. That's one that hasn't been on the table before yet, right?
No. It hasn't. So, yeah, we'll see if that happens. There's a couple things with IR that they tweaked last year and to make it permanent with like adding like an extra the two guys for IR designated return at the end of the year. But these things are things that they did last year, and then they're just basically looking to make them permanent.
Where's the owners' meetings again? It's always Florida, right?
West Palm Beach.
Sale.
This guy.
Text me
you
on the side.
Coming down, Nate, bringing your clubs?
Text me on the side. I got some really good courses down there.
There you
go. West Palm Beach.
I'd love to. Listen, they are amazing courses. In fact, where the owners' meetings are at a place called The Breakers, which is incredible.
Yeah.
There's a course right there, but I'm pretty sure on those days, A, it's booked up completely with NFL executives and you know, people like that, and also probably incredible amount of money to play that course. I haven't even been able to
look at it.
The
Breakers, yeah, that's stupid expensive. Funny enough, Sal, one of my favorite courses in West Palm is West Palm Par 3. Might be the nicest par 3 I've ever...
It's a par 3 course?
It is like... All right, dramatic, but it's like Augusta upkept. It's insanely well kept. Greens are super fast. It's like if you have a group of people you want to go out and have fun and be competitive, it's like one of the... It's right on the water. Yeah, listen, I'll text you. I got some good spots you could get into while you're down there. You should take advantage because, I don't know, buddy, we're looking at a couple weeks before we get on the course when you get back.
There was snow on the ground yesterday.
Yeah.
So you're saying I could just take some irons and leave the driver home and go to this course and play it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Be cheaper to fly that way, too.
Yeah.
No doubt. Hey, real quick, I forgot. Yes. One of the interesting ones is attached to the kickoff proposal, it's part of the rule, so it's either all going to be all or nothing, is, and I think this will pass... onside kicks, you could declare at any time, not just the fourth quarter. Still have to be trailing, but you could do it at any time in the game. Still can't do a surprise onside based on everything that happens now with the new kickoffs and how the alignment is, but the new rule would also include, it's kind of attached to this rule, which is you could declare an onside kick at any time in the game.
How you feeling about the Yankees? Vibes?
I still feel good. I still think they're the best roster in the AL East, but I just don't know if their pitching can hold up. They have no Gerrit Cole for the whole year, which sucks. Yeah. Louis Hill's the reigning AL Rookie of the Year. He's out for a few months. They still have some decent, you know, they still have a decent rotation, but the back end is going to really be challenged. The bullpen's good. It's very good. So if you can get a lead, but that's going to be interesting. The Yankees are having something unique. Have you guys ever heard of this? Hmm. The Yankees are going to have a catcher lead off.
Interesting.
Austin Wells.
I
can't remember last time a catcher let up. The Yankees do not have a traditional, actual, like, legitimate leadoff hitter. Austin Wells gets on base. He's not the fastest, but you don't need that anymore. Leadoff hitters, gone from the days of that particular. They're no more. You don't do the Ricky Henderson thing anymore, right?
Right, where it's like a single and a stolen Vince base. Coleman. It's basically a double every time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so now it's just get on base, and that's Austin Wells, who's a catcher. So I just think it's super interesting.
Yeah, catcher leading off. For any team.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Austin Wells. He gets on base.
The money. Yes, he does.
All right. Thanks, Al.
You got it.
Norton Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up at 10 o'clock. Speaking of baseball, Let's get a little scoop on the AL East. Josh Goldberg up in Toronto on the Blue Jays. They might have a deadline today to sign Vlad Guerrero Jr. Like, there are trade rumors about him or $500 million contract rumors. So we'll get a little baseball in as it is opening day in Major League Baseball. The Bisons open up tomorrow at 2:05 against the Red Wings. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But stay tuned. Some baseball talk on the way here on WGR.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.